Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode.
As we conclude our study on how what God is like, what His name is, how He introduces Himself, just a way for you and I really to get to know God better. So we saw how He introduced Himself. I want to take today's episode and I want to flip that completely around the other direction and ask the question, who are you? Basically asking this, how would you introduce yourself to people you are not too familiar with? How about people that you are familiar with? Remember, God started this way. He said, this is my name, Jehovah, and this is what is most important about me. And I'm starting there. I'm merciful and gracious. That's what He wanted us to remember. And then He went on to say that He's abundant in goodness and truth, that He's long-suffering, He's forgiving and just. So as you and I introduce ourselves, we should start with what is most important to us, what we want people to truly know about us. I want to go to Romans chapter 1 and look at just one verse, the very beginning. And when we look at the greetings, if you will, the introductions to a lot of the New Testament epistles, the letters, often we'll skip right over the introductions to get to the better part of the book. But you know, the introduction is there for a specific reason. It's just as inspired as the rest of the book. There must be something very important in the intro and why they wrote it and why they said what they said, and also something that we can apply to our lives. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says this, Paul, he says, this is my name, Paul, and I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And so Paul is writing here to the Christians in Rome. He's wanting to visit there, but he's writing to people that are not super familiar with him. He probably has never even met the vast majority of them. And this is how he introduces himself. He starts with his name and then begins with what is most important about himself. What is the first thing he mentions about himself? Notice Jesus is the first thing he mentions. He begins with Jesus and his relationship to him. Wow. That's powerful. Is this true of us? Is Jesus so in the forefront of our minds and our hearts and our conversations? Would He come out somewhere in your introduction to someone that you don't know? Is He part of what you want people to know about you? Is He part of what I want people to know about me? Or would we rather hide it? Would we hope they don't ask? Hi, I'm Kyle. I work here and I like doing this. And this is a little bit about myself. Never mention the fact that I'm a believer, a Christian, serving church, serving ministry, whatever it is. You see, Paul begins with the fact that he is this, a servant of Jesus Christ. Who are you? Are you? Am I a servant of Jesus Christ? You see, we're bought with a price. He begins with the truth that he's a servant. A servant is one who's completely subject to the will of his master. He's completely at the disposal of his master. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 tell us this. What? Question mark? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? He's asking a question here. Do you not know this? Do you not realize this? Then he says this, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, as a result, because of this, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Watch this, which are God's. Paul introduced himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. You look, I'll serve nobody. I'm my own person. I'll serve myself. And Paul is saying, you're bought with a price. Jesus paid the high, extremely high price to purchase your freedom. Jesus freed you. He freed me from sin, Satan, and separation from God. Why do you serve? Why do I serve? Because we're bought with a price. You see, no one makes themselves a Christian. We're all born a slave of the devil, of Satan, a slave of sin, and then we're freed by Jesus Christ. And as a result, we're not free to do whatever we want. We are bought as a possession. Because we are bought with a price, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And that's what it says there. It says, which are God's. Notice the possessive. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, do what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And he says, which are God's. He possesses them. You are either a servant of sin and Satan, or you are a servant of Jesus Christ. When you're not serving Jesus, I'm not serving Jesus, then guess who I'm serving? I'm serving Satan and self. But to be a servant, you must surrender your will to His. I must surrender my rights to His rights. Do you realize just who you are? You are of the highest value. You matter. You are such a high value that He gave His life for you. He bought you back. And as a result, you and I have no right to do what we want with our body or our life. Paul said, look, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. This is who I am. Then he moves to the fact that he had been summoned by Jesus Christ. Who are you? Do you recognize that you have been summoned by Jesus Christ? Here he says he's been called as an apostle. He's been chosen by God. Think about how God chooses. One, think about the fact that he does choose. Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 3 and 6 say this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. What? Even before God put you in the womb, before you came into this world, he already chose you and had a path. He's dreamed a dream for your life. What is that? That you should be holy and without blame before him in love. And he goes on to say, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. His desire, even from the beginning, was that you would be adopted into his family. He knew, all knowing, that you were going to sin, that you were going to be a servant of sin, Satan, and self. But he chose you, and he offers you the gift of eternal life, that you can be adopted into the family of God. And verse 6 says, it's to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You have been summoned or chosen by God. Think about how God chooses. Paul was an enemy of Jesus. He hated Jesus. He hated Christians. He hated the church. He killed and hurt people for identifying as a Christian. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death. God chose his biggest enemy. Wow. Think how God chooses. We're all enemies. As sinners, we're all born enemies of God, but God chooses and then calls his enemies. Then he works in our hearts, our minds, and our lives to change us to be what? To be more like his son. You say, well, I'm not a called to be an apostle. You may not be called as an apostle, but you are called as a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Do you realize that you have been chosen and called by God? The question really is, do people around you and around me realize that I have been called and chosen by God? Do people realize that about you? What has God called you to? What should you be doing for him? You see, God's will is clear and known. We try to make it difficult and like it's a mystery. God's will is what he's revealed to you that you know you should be doing today. You and I should be what? We should be actively witnessing for him. We should be going to work and giving our best, doing all to the glory of God. We should be honest. We should be people of character. This is God's will. There may be times when God reveals a specific place or person or event for us to go towards or lead towards, but God's will is in the present. It's not in the future. God will reveal his future will to us in the present, but so often we think incorrectly about God's will that it's something off in the future. God's will is clear and known. Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments, simply do what Scripture says. And so Paul says, I'm going to introduce myself this way. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm called as an apostle. You can look at it like this. When we introduce ourselves, typically we do what? We say our name, and then we say typically what we do for vocation or that we're in school. Hi, I'm Kyle. I'm a student at ECU. Or hi, I'm Kyle, and I work at a building supply company, and I'm married to Amanda, and blah, 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 blah. But here, you know what he says? He doesn't begin where we typically begin. Paul begins, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul says this, look, hi, my name's Kyle, and I'm a follower of Jesus. And you know what? I work over at ECU with campus ministry, and I'm blah, 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 blah. Or hey, I'm a nurse, or hey, I'm whatever. But he doesn't begin there. That's where we typically begin. Paul begins unashamedly with the fact that he's a servant of Jesus Christ. You say, well, that sounds awkward. That sounds like I'm a religious nut. The question is this, does he come out in your introduction, regardless of what place? But Paul gives us the example. And he said, look, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That's his vocation. He says, I'm called to be an apostle. And we could get into what all that means. And he says, it's separated unto the gospel of God. So he moves next to the fact that he's been separated unto Jesus Christ. Who are you? Are you separated unto Jesus? Separate means to define, to mark off with boundaries, to select for a specific work. Separation means there's what a distinct difference. You see, before Paul was separated unto the law, he was a religious fanatic. Now he's separated unto what? The gospel. That is a huge, huge change. You see, when you come to Jesus, your life is going to be different in a good way. There should be a separating that occurs. And it's unto Jesus and from. Too often we get it backwards. We separate from the world and then to Jesus. No, it's first we separate unto Jesus and then from the world. We think Christianity too often is simply separation from the world. If I stop doing XYZ things, I break these habits, or I don't go there anymore. That's legalism and religion. And it misses the true heart and essence of following Jesus. Separated what? Unto Jesus from the world. But separation is also not isolation. Too often I see Christians isolated from the world. That's separation gone too far. We should be in the world, but distinctly different from the world. Why? Because we're separated unto Jesus. Separation is about being distinctly different from the world. And so the question is this, as you consider, who are you? Have you been captivated by Jesus? Paul was captivated by him. Why? How do we know that? Because we see he introduced himself, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He just starts there. He says, look, my name is Kyle, and I'm a follower of Jesus. Kyle, I'm a Christian. Kyle, I'm a believer. Whatever. And then he goes on to tell about himself. Have you been captivated by Jesus? Is he the master of your life? Is he the master of your thinking? Is he the master of all your events and activities? And then secondly, are you unashamed of Jesus? Are you, am I unashamed to tell people that I am a believer, that I am a Christian? And does my life line up with who I say that I am? Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.